Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good morning, Melbourne. I had a limp microphone.
Oh, God, Greg. I believe that's shocking for you guys, but I've never heard it called a microphone before.
Welcome, Melbourne. Welcome, Australia and the world. This is Detours with Lindsay and Greg.
It is, and it's such a beautiful day out there, Greg. And I know we're not really meant to send cheerios, but I have two friends that are down from the very, very outer suburbs or a place unknown to many of us guys, and it's called Caroline Springs.
Caroline Springs?
Caroline Springs, and that's out there somewhere. I think it's west or something, but there's no tram that goes there, so of course a lot of us wouldn't know, but apparently it's really lovely. And if I can just say a very quick hello to Caroline and Ingrid, because this is the first time they've listened to Joy for a very long time.
This is Caroline from Caroline Springs.
Caroline from Caroline Springs it is. Ah. Yeah, and I believe she's changing her second name to Springs now too.
Caroline Springs.
Yeah, and she bounces a lot, so, you know, she's a happy character.
Now, we've got two hellos. Look, we'll do cheerios, why not? We've got Roy listening from Manila. Hello, Roy. Thanks for listening. He was part of our Christmas show, phoned in and talked to Detours during Christmas Day special show.
Yeah, I wasn't here that day.
And also Roma. Now, Roma was spending 6 months here in Victoria and has just travelled back after catching up with the J-pop or the Joy Pop crew doing Asian music. That's Jace and Kane, who do their brand new show during the week. And Roma actually caught up with those guys and he's now back in Manila too.
Oh, fabulous. I mean, Manila's a lot farther away than Caroline Springs, isn't it? sort of puts my cheerio to shame.
Now, this week, what exciting's been happening to you, Liz?
Oh, absolutely nothing, I have to admit. I didn't get to go to the provinces this week, but I've been very, very busy with Bent TV things this week, so that sort of kept me busy, and the usual lattes with friends and that sort of stuff. And
now, yeah, Mac is in Stuttgart, so he can't join us today. And also, Jody is preparing for this caravan trek to take a caravan out to the flood areas in Victoria for people that have been floodbound and lost their home. So she's organising and mobilising and packing the caravan and getting ready to go.
She's amazing, isn't she?
Just amazing. Yeah. She would have been there right now, but the floodwater is still waist deep where they're going to actually take the caravan. So they've got to wait till it drops a little bit before they can get the portable housing, temporary accommodation.
Oh, we might do a live cross.
We might do with snorkels on.
With snorkels, yeah, and lots of splashing.
Now, today we have a very special guest in the studio, and that's Marcos, who's joining us here today, and his partner who's waving his head saying, I'm not going on air. But we'll start with Marcos. Welcome to Detours on Joy.
Thank you.
Yeah. And how do you pronounce your surname in the correct way?
Moraes.
Moraes.
Yes.
Wasn't that sexy?
It's a very sexy accent.
Since she was down my spine.
So today, we've both got connected spines in.
I have the shiver. Yeah, but your mic's limp.
Not now. You were born in Brazil.
Yes.
In South America.
In Brazil, São Paulo.
São Paulo.
Yeah.
So today we're going to actually explore not just you as a Brazilian man that lives in Melbourne, but we're going to explore a recent journey you had to return home.
Yes.
So that's going to be pretty fabulous. And along the way, we've got a little bit of music that we'll play, some beautiful South American music that you've brought back. Brazilian music?
Yeah. One of them is, her name is Cássia Eller. She was a singer and composer. She was a very famous lesbian, and she died of an overdose a few years ago. So, and she's from my time, so I actually went to one of her shows. So I think some people might like it, some people might not. So it's an interesting song.
Yep. So we'll play that shortly and explore some of it. Now, what was her name again so that we can get that right?
Cássia Eller.
Cássia Eller.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we'll explore some of the music. But I do want to connect a little bit later about what it's like to return home and how much does a place change?
Of course.
when we move away. But how much does it change because we now have more mature eyes? We're a maturer person, we have more worldly experiences. And how much of that change is due to that? So is that okay to go there?
Yeah, of course. I moved here 5.5 years ago. So up until then, I was living in Brazil since I was born. So it's interesting to see a new culture such as Melbourne. Australia and Brazil have somewhat similar cultures. But it's interesting to see like how a different country operates and all that, and then come back to your own country and see the differences. So that was quite interesting throughout those 5 years, not only on my trip back now.
Very good.
And Marcos, when you went back, like, were you homesick for Australia at any stage?
Yeah, at the start I was homesick because of Brazil when I arrived here. But the more I live here, it's interesting because my home is here now. And I started gathering more and more experiences in Australia. So you start becoming Australian, more and more Australian. But I'm still very Brazilian. But it's interesting that I don't know which one is home now.
Oh, okay.
That's a real quandary, isn't it? Where is home?
I'm still essentially Brazilian, but I live here now and I have a partner here. And it's interesting that sometimes you don't know where you belong anymore or if you belong to both countries.
And when you went back, did any of your friends say, oh, you're speaking Brazilian with an Australian accent?
They say something more like, yeah, you're an Aussie now. Because, yeah, I've been living here for 5 years, so I absorbed a lot of the culture and a lot of the people. I have a lot of friends here now and all that.
When you left there, were you out? Were you out to yourself as a gay man, or were you out
to your friends? Yes, but not to my family.
Uh-huh.
I have a gay brother as well. But when the first time I went back with Anthony, I told my dad about him. So I took him there, and then I told my dad that he was my partner.
And how did Dad respond?
He said he had, because I never actually lied to him about, I never lied to him, I just hid it from him. So I would never say, I'm seeing this girl or anything. I would just say, he will say, how are the girls? And I was like, yeah, it's okay. And then he said, I had a feeling that there was something there.
Now, Anthony, I'm going to put you on the spot. What was it like to meet Marcus's dad? This voice is Anthony, by the way, Marcus's partner, Anthony.
Well, I was quite nervous at the start because I couldn't actually speak any Portuguese whatsoever. So, but he's a really cool guy. Like, he's really welcoming. There's a lot of warmth in the family, a lot of warmth in Brazil as well. Brazilians are like male to male, you know, male to female. They're all very sort of touchy-feely, I think, and they like to embrace each other all the time. So
they don't have the conservatism we have in this Western culture here where people are afraid to touch. Mates are afraid to touch.
There's a lot of touching there.
There's a lot of touching.
And when's the next plane going to Brazil, Greg?
Well, the late, great Adam Stobbs, when he was there just before he came on Detours, sent us a fabulous collection of photos from his experiences in Brazil, and he really warmed to the country. It was just incredible, the connection that people had and the way people were able to express themselves. And you, perhaps, Anthony, found that expression. What was that like, being an Aussie boy, seeing that expression between people?
For example, just with women, being able to go meet a woman and you kiss them straight away, and I don't find that is as common here. I find it common with friends and that, but when you first meet a woman...
He's saying kissing on the cheek.
On the cheek.
I'm not going
but I really like that. I thought it's more...
I'd like that too.
It's quite easygoing and...
And if you're in Rio, you kiss twice on each cheek.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now, you're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guests, Marcos and Anthony. And we're going to explore a little bit more. And if you want to join in the conversation and ask some questions, think about what questions you might want to ask the boys about Brazil. 0427JOY949 or...
Or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au or would we like... Can they phone in? Because there is a number here, Greg. Shall we...
Yeah, let's take calls. Grant's on the phone and we'll give him a bit of warning.
He'll pass you through. 1300JOY949 and via carrier pigeon, just point in the direction of the city.
You're on Detours, Lindsay and Greg. You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guests, Marcos and Anthony. And that song was fantastic. That was Can You Feel the Love by Imar, which was...
Yes.
A pretty good track, wasn't it?
It was good.
It was great music. Really like that. What's the dance scene like when you hit South America, in particular Brazil? What's the dance scene like when you go clubbing?
I'll talk more about São Paulo and Rio, which are the two cities that I'm most familiar with. Anthony, when we went the first time, he noticed that São Paulo is a night city and Rio is a day city. So Rio is all about outdoors, beach, sports and everything. And São Paulo, there's a lot of nightlife. So the club scene in São Paulo is very big. São Paulo is a huge city. There's 20 million people there. And especially the gay night scene is quite big. There are a few clubs. There's one very famous club called The Week, which is a massive, massive club. And... the owner now is expanded to Rio and the south of Brazil, and it's getting really big now. So, what did you think about the week?
My first trip there, I found it really, like, it was so many people in there, so...
It can be a really, like, it's a massive place, and there's a lot of people.
When you say massive...
Is it mixed?
Is it mixed?
No. Girls and boys?
Mostly boys.
Mostly men.
And when you say massive, how big? Give us a comparison.
Sorry.
It would be something around, like, the capacity would be, how much do you reckon? 3,000?
3,000 or 4,000.
So it's like a dance party.
Like a dance party every weekend.
Incredible.
If you like that kind of party, and they have an outdoor area, in Brazil they love their VIP areas. So there's like a special area with a allocated bar and everything just for the VIP guests. So there's a lot of that in Brazil as well.
And I have to ask, how close are these cities? Are they...
São Paulo and Rio they are 400 kilometers apart.
Oh, so you couldn't like have a lovely day in Rio and then go to São Paulo?
Yeah,
and
we have. It's similar to Melbourne, Sydney, really. Mm. But the flight is shorter; it's 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And we actually call it Aerial Bridge.
Yep, Aerial Bridge.
Yeah, because it's so short. And there's a lot of flights every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, you would. When I used to live in São Paulo, I would spend weekends in Rio.
Okay.
Some weekends, it's like the same as here. Yeah. Sometimes you go just a student to spend the weekend.
Now, if it's a nightclub, you spend the evening preparing. You go out and eat. And is it a late club or is it an early club?
It's everything in Brazil is late. So, when I was there now. One night we went out to eat. It was around 11:30 at midnight, just to have dinner. We finished dinner and then we arrived at the club at 2:30 in the morning.
2:30.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, and because I'm used to the Aussie timings now, before I knew it was already, the sun was rising shortly after I arrived at the nightclub. And it was really weird to see that.
So once this, what time does the club close, if at all?
It closes around 9 o'clock.
Okay,
I'd say.
In the morning, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go out for breakfast. And
yeah, we have Anthony actually loves, the padarias, they're called, which are bakeries.
Yeah, the padarias are fantastic. I love it. After a night out, you go to, it's like a nice bakery, but yeah, it's got everything you can order. You've got a buffet breakfast, or you can order burgers. There's bread rolls, cheese.
and the Massive, and everyone goes to there for the munchies.
I like that idea, because all we really had was Greasy Joe's on her way to Mandate.
The one we usually go to is Galleria, just after going out to the week. So
yeah. And they have a no-alcohol policy, because in Brazil you don't have to be licensed to serve alcohol. But this place is because it's supposed to be after the night out. Like, they operate during the day as well, but at that night time of the night, it's just for people to go there to eat something, have a juice or something, and then go to bed or do something else.
Read a book, listen to music.
Yeah,
fiesta.
Yeah, fiesta.
Now, the language, you talked about Portuguese before, Anthony. So the language, it's an old Portuguese colony at one point.
We were a Portuguese colony, yeah, correct. Yeah.
And so that stayed as a predominant language, but you must have other cultures that have come on board in different languages. What's the shape of the language now in Rio?
It's purely Portuguese, and if I'm not wrong, we're the only country in South America that speaks Portuguese. So all the other ones are Spanish. So our Portuguese is a variant of the Portuguese from Portugal, so it's called Brazilian Portuguese. It's quite similar, especially the structure. But all the slangs and all the words can be a bit different. But it's pretty much, the accent is very different. But if you are Brazilian, you can understand Portuguese from Portugal.
And we're talking about a colony that ceased somewhere in the 1800s, early 1800s, I suppose.
Yeah, that's when we became an independent country.
Yeah.
And Brazil was, I don't know the term in English, but it was a colony. The purpose of the colony was not to be developed, but to be explored or used. So the resource would be used to the benefit of Portugal. So they didn't want to develop the country. So maybe that's why we have the social issues that we have today.
Yeah.
So
now when you go there, and Anthony, you went for the first time, and of course Marcos was there before. What do you see about the evidence of the old Portuguese colonies? Do you see any battlements or any when you sightsee around the place? What's it like for a first timer?
For the first timer, no, I didn't notice anything like that. All I notice is that they have extremities of the rich and the poor, whereas it's more evened out in Australia.
So quite stark, yeah. Rich and poor, haves and have-nots.
Yep, and you know, families will have maids as well, which is really different. But the maids, you know, if they're a part of a good family such as Marcos, they're made a part of the family, so they stay and live in the house. And
so Marcos is just not a handsome and a exclusive guest here on Detours, but he's quite an important guest. He's in the higher end of the society there, isn't he?
No, not like that, but it's just the way I think it is. It's either they have the really poor people or you have rich people. Oh, that's how it's seen, yeah.
In São Paulo you have
a middle
class, but Anthony's point was that the contrast between, let's say, the middle class and the rich is quite stark. So you have the super rich. And then you, like, because São Paulo is quite cosmopolitan, so you have really, really high-end restaurants, really, really high-end labels and all that. So you can, it's quite an expensive city. So the middle class would never be able to afford that. So you have all that scene where everything is super, super, super expensive. And, yeah. And then you can see, for example, people operating lifts on these posh shopping centers, and that's all they do. They just press buttons. You walk into the elevator and you go like, third floor, please, and then they just press the button, and they're all there, for the whole day.
So having extreme wealth does create work, employment,
it does.
Opportunity for people.
It does.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the coin.
Hey, this is fascinating exploration of São Paulo and Brazil, South America.
Absolutely. And one of the things is you know, I was just thinking when you were saying that, like, we go shopping to Northland or, you know, any one of those, or Doncaster Shopping Town, but you're talking about a city of 20 million people.
Yeah.
It must be awfully bloody crowded on a Saturday morning trying to get the market or do any sort of shopping.
Yeah, the traffic drove Anthony insane. And it actually, to be honest, it drives me insane as well.
Mm.
Because now when I went there, now it was between Christmas and New Year, and it, the city was quite empty. But when I went with Anthony, we were there in October 2009. If you're on the road past 5 o'clock, you're screwed. So it's a gridlock, and everyone, the traffic drives everyone insane. Everyone always complains about it. But I think that's a problem in big cities regardless, because I think New York is the same, London is the same, because I hear people, friends that lived in London, and they say the traffic is just horrendous.
And they have a number plate policy as well?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes, some days of the week, some plates ending in certain numbers can't circulate.
Oh, incredible.
Just really? To minimize the
traffic. Marcos's family decided to purchase a few different cars so they with different
just one more
so they can be on the road all the time.
I like that system.
It's great.
I bet you if our Minister of Transport's listening, I bet you know they're making notes right now. Like
they'll be off to explore it. They'll go kind of junk it over there.
Yeah, actually, there's Ted Bailey out on Bourke Street now.
You're here on Detours with Lindsay and Greg, and our guests are Marcos and Anthony.
Different sounds for our same-sex community. Joy 94.9.
All day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Quem sabe eu ainda sou uma garotinha.
You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg.
Yes.
And our guest today, Marcos and Anthony. But on the line joining us is a very special person here at Joy's, Dolly Diamond. Welcome, Dolly.
Oh, it's lovely to be a part of the show.
Oh, thank you.
A very special part of the show, an interlude.
Well, I like that I like that music on before. It got me right in the mood.
I actually can see you doing Portuguese music, Portuguese come Brazilian music. I can see it in your shows.
Well, I can certainly do the food. I mean, that's wonderful food that they've got, isn't it?
Marvellous.
And the men aren't bad either.
The men are extraordinary. We actually have locked the studio. These two aren't allowed to leave.
Well, I've met them. I tell you, they're gorgeous.
Now, what's on your plate at the moment, Dolly?
Well, I'm very excited. It's, of course, our last night tonight, Diamond and Gallagher, our final show. And, well, we were talking the other day, and I said, we've just added some extra seats for tonight, which is quite exciting. It's not the table seating, but it's the general admission, and I thought I'd let people know if they wanted to come along.
Oh, awesome. Now, to come along, what time do they have to look at?
Well, it's an 8:30 show, so it's quite sensible time, and, well, we'll be down at 45 downstairs. I think tickets are available through midsummer.org.au.
Are there any tickets available at the door, Dolly?
Well, I don't know if they probably they might get them at the door. I mean, it's the sort of thing that if you want to go, you should book. But I mean, there might be some at the door. There's not that many tickets available because it's the final one. But you never know. I would have just rock up. We'll squeeze you in somewhere.
Gorgeous.
In between the pearl set and the
and the twin set, the pearl set and the twin set.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's been the most fun I think we've ever had with our 14-piece big band and more costume changes than Cher. So it's been very fun.
Now the other day down at Melbourne City Bars, they actually played Luke Gallagher and Dolly Diamond down there to the public during the afternoon while you're on some show here at Joy. You're getting quite a name amongst the broader community, aren't you?
Well, that's great. I mean, I tell you what, we've been very surprised, actually, with our audiences. There's been a lot of, Joy friends and the like, but there's also been quite a lot of general audience as well, which is great. I mean, it's exactly what we want. It's not a big gay show, although we both tend to lean that way. But I think it's just, if you like fun comedy and great music, it's that kind of show, you know.
And it's brilliant too, isn't it, Dolly, that the broader community do brace Midsummer now. Actually, I saw on a tram today an ad, a billboard for Midsummer on a tram, and I thought, you know, even 5-10 years ago, that would never have happened.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, we've come a long way, and I think that's the way it should be. I mean, funny is funny, and entertaining is entertaining. You know, it's just like we would go to see, we would support anything else mainstream. Why on earth wouldn't they come to us? And let's face it, we do things better anyway, don't we?
I think we do, Dolly, and with more fun and more panache.
I love panache. It's not just a fragrance, I tell you what. It's just something we you know, that we should all support each other, and when those lines are blurred, it makes for a much better world.
Absolutely.
Now, Dolly, we wish you and particularly Luke Gallagher, ex-country Catholic boy, Luke Gallagher.
Oh, God. And what did he have for breakfast?
The Catholic's well and truly gone from that boy.
So
although it's odd because he's hardly off his knees.
So he's a fallen Catholic.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, well and truly, yes.
Oh, break a leg.
There's no rosary left. Well, thank you.
And have a great show. And we hope to even come down and buy some tickets at the door and see.
Oh, well, why not? Just risk it for a biscuit and hope to see you there.
Bye-bye, Dolly.
Bye-bye.
That was Dolly Diamond. Dolly Diamond and Luke Gallagher down at the 45 tonight at 8 or 8.30? 8 o'clock.
8.30.
For her, 8.30
is
their final, their ultimate show.
Mm.
Their penultimate show was last night. Final show tonight. And I'd get in quick because it's something not to be missed.
And it's a fabulous show. It's been meeting rave reviews as well. And that's what we like to hear. And Midsummer's just been fabulous this year. Let's face it. Even though there was a kerfuffle on Carnival Day, my hero. But, yeah, Midsummer's just such a great time of year for us.
Now, that track we played before was a particularly good track, Marcos, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's called Malandrage.
And here it is in the background again. We'll just play it. Tell us about the singer of this.
It's Cassarello. She was a lesbian singer, very famous, quite out there. So she was butch and everything. So very... not afraid to be herself, and that was good because even with all that and all the prejudice, she was quite famous.
Mm.
And that song is called Malandragem, which is, it's a bit of a tricky word because I'm trying to translate it. It's kind of getting away with things or taking the shortcut. Do you know what I mean?
Which, it fits in really well with being gay or lesbian, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could.
Yeah,
sort of a metaphor on her own life. And was she, the equivalent to Kylie, say, was she embraced by the broader community?
She was embraced. It was, from her song, you can tell it's a bit of pop rock and live music as well. So, yeah, it was... It's quite uplifting. She has some beautiful, and she was a composer as well. So, the lyrics are quite good as well.
She sounds a little bit like Marianne Faithfull. You know that in her voice. I love that. Love that.
So
no, she's fabulous.
Another quick couple of seconds. It's Casa Ella. Yeah, fantastic music.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that here on Detours. And that's a very interesting part of, I suppose, Portuguese culture. It is.
Brazilian music is very big in Brazil.
Hmm. So, being a young man growing up, before you hit clubs and before you hit this form of our culture and the club culture, what sort of music did they have then? What was the traditional sort of music, or the what sort of colours and flavours, and what was part of your world growing up in?
We have a lot of American influence, not only American influence, but the tunes that we hear here in a Joy, for example, you would be hearing that as well in Brazil. But in Brazil, we have an additional scene, which is the Brazilian music. So we have rock bands, we have some pop bands, but pop tends to be more international. But rock bands, it's quite big in Brazil as well. And there's because in Brazil we have a lot of poets, so we have what is called Brazilian popular music. It's acoustic guitar, acoustic environment, and the songs are quite chilled out. There's no beat, no douche. So it's it's a big scene as well. So
that's pretty good. Did you pick up some of that, Anthony, as you were travelling? Some of the more traditional music of São Paulo?
Yeah, we visited the northeast of Brazil, Trancoso.
Trancoso, yeah.
And it's more it's like going to Byron Bay, I think, for us. But there was a lot of traditional sort of music there, and it's like a small village sort of community on the beach.
And what does it look like? Is it what are the buildings like? Are the streets narrow or wide? What's it like in that northeastern town?
Oh, there was lots of trees and...
It's kind of a Byron Bay, but it has become quite famous over the years. So
rustic. I found it rustic.
Quite rustic.
Yeah.
But then you have now all those posh resorts and all that kind of stuff, because it was very famous in... a tiny place, and they had a bar called Toastex, you know, the sandwich, mm-hmm. toast decks. And it was by the beach. And during the high season, which is from December to March, they have massive parties there by the beach. And remember, the bar was really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, on the beaches, you're able to, you know, drink on the beaches without, you know, getting in trouble with the law. You can hire umbrellas, seats. You've got people coming up to you with, you know, selling you nice grilled cheese on a stick. I love it. And, yeah, you can relax quite easily. There's music playing all the time on the beach. So, it's very popular sort of time.
In Rio, they have all this... Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. No.
In Rio, they have these tents where they have eskies, and then you can open like a tab, and then they serve you whatever you want to drink. They give you the umbrellas, the chairs, everything. So you have everything set up, and then you don't have to take anything to the beach. So
yeah, it's like a mini bar. Fantastic.
And they bring you like icy cold beer. It's good.
Mm.
Oh, fabulous.
Does it cost much? What's the price like to actually pay for the food that's coming down, the drink that's coming down?
The Brazilian currency is called Brazilian real, which is translation for royal, if you want to call it. And it's 60 cents of the Aussie dollar. So it ends up being cheaper. But if you go to São Paulo, for example, to a nice restaurant, the restaurant is really expensive. So you end up spending pretty much the same as you would here, but it is cheaper. So for a beer, you would pay R$6, which
can't
is
remember.
six from six to nine reais, which is about
$3.20?
$4 to $6.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
which
pretty,
is not too bad.
Yeah. Now, Michael Glover's messaged in. He asked a
really
important question, I think.
Yeah, he'd like to ask, is it safe to travel in Brazil alone if one only speaks English, or is it better to go on an escorted tour with a guide?
That's a good question.
It's a good question, Michael.
Yeah. Australia is... a different country because everything is so safe here. So you can go out in the street and you are very safe most of the time. Now, if you go to Brazil, either São Paulo or Rio, which are the cities I can talk about, there's no problem. I've lived there for 25 years. I've never ever been I've never had a gun pointed at me ever. And the only thing is, you're in a big country, you're in a big city, you have to watch your back. So, you couldn't, don't think you can get away with going out with a floral shirt, the camera hanging from your neck. If you look like a tourist, you may have people that will try to take advantage of you. So, I think I would say it is safe to go, but just be sure you are watching your back. So, be smart and be sensible. I think it applies to any country. So, yeah, I think the most dangerous thing is people taking advantage of you. And if you're not, as I said, if you don't watch your back, then you might get in trouble. If you go to the wrong area, if you go to the wrong area at the wrong time, then you will definitely get in trouble.
And that's where perhaps having language skills, local language knowledge, that helps in those situations.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. I think also keeping your cards and money in your front pockets. And in a big club, for example, in a big club, it's common.
It's very common. That Club of the Week, unfortunately... I've lost count of the amount of friends going, sending emails. Can everyone please send me your details because I was robbed at the club?
Oh,
because if you leave your stuff on your back pocket, people just go and grab it.
That's something that you don't see here.
So that's what I'm saying about watching your back. Is always staying alert.
Now, as a gay couple, what's it like in terms of safety for being a gay couple?
I think it's quite...
São Paulo is becoming more... It's like gayer and gayer. And we have the biggest gay pride in the world, apparently. So last year, I think it was 3.5 million people.
God, that's the population of Melbourne yeah. almost, at a gay pride march. Wouldn't you like that, Brett? That would be a bit of a nightmare for Fitzroy Street. 3.5 million queers walking down Fitzroy Street on a Sunday afternoon. I'd like to see that. And you know what? They say that 1 in 10 people are gay, and it's not unachievable in this country.
No, well, we'll have a smaller crowd on the 6th of Feb, won't we? Sunday next week.
No, that millions come to our pride march. Honestly, you know, we just, you know, actually, we go from door to door knocking. If you're gay and you're not there, hey, no more gay friends will be coming to your place for dinner. But Pride March. It's on next Sunday, isn't it? On the 6th of February. And you would have been to our Pride.
I have.
Yeah, you would have noticed a little bit of difference.
Here's more political.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's more fiesta.
There's more fiesta.
Like, it's a huge part of have floats and, yeah.
Yeah, see, maybe if Brett's listening, maybe next Pride March we might have a Brazilian feel to
it.
That'd
be fabulous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just to, you know, you boys can flop your maracas, so to speak.
No, we will, on detours.
On detours.
With Lindsay and Greg and our guests.
I won't be flopping my maracas, you guys are on your own.
Anthony and Marcos.
Hot and texty. 0427 Joy 949.
We can remember swimming in December.
You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest Anthony and Marcos. And this music's fabulous. What's music today?
It's Empire of the Sun. Oh. And what's the name of the song?
Take Me to the Sun.
Are you going to leave me now?
No.
Which one's this?
I forgot now.
If you know what this song is, 0427 Joy 949.
And there's no prize in it, but you'll get to talk to us.
Or on air at joy.org.au.
Now, can we, Greg, address this question from the gorgeous Gary Glover? And he's asking, in terms of both flying time, connections and costs, their views on the, well, your guys' views on the best way to fly to Brazil from Australia is via, say, Chile or Argentina or through Los Angeles or some other USA hub airport. What would you suggest?
Since the end of 2009, Qantas has been operating direct services between Sydney and Buenos Aires.
Ooh.
In the past, you used to have to go for Sydney, Auckland, Santiago, and then São Paulo. Mm-hmm. And now you can go Sydney, Buenos Aires, and then São Paulo or Rio. So the flight from Sydney to Buenos Aires is around 13 hours.
Well, that's not very far at all.
No, it's a long flight.
Yeah, but by comparison to going to New York or...
Yeah, yeah. But then you connect in Buenos Aires. If you want to spend some time in Buenos Aires, it's an amazing city. People love it, and I love it too. And then you can grab either British Airways to Brazil, or there's also the Brazilian national carrier, which is TAM, T-A-M. So there are quite a few options from Buenos Aires to São Paulo, to Brazil, I'd say. But it's all via Sydney. So for Melburnians, you would have to go to connect to Sydney.
Oh, he's on his way now.
And say hello to Mervyn, who's listening now in Sydney. Mervyn, between shifts at the International Airport in Sydney, will always listen to Detours on Joy 94.9, streaming into Sydney Airport.
Oh, are we?
And so just the cost.
Oh, I should put on my best voice.
The cost, I think, is around... it changes so much, but it would start from...
1800,
I'd say. Yeah,
it's pretty cheap. Yeah. Now, before we go, 10 things to eat and things to do in São Paulo.
Okay, one of the things we'd love about Brazil is the food. So, we'd say go to a padaria, the bakeries. Go to a churrascaria, which is a meat restaurant. They come to your table to serve the meat from the skewer. Eat feijoada on a Saturday with a caipirinha.
Ah, beautiful.
And in Rio?
Go hang gliding in Rio and visit Ipanema Beach and go to a favela tour.
But with an operator.
Fabulous.
With an operator. Don't go by yourself.
Oh, don't go by yourself.
No, don't go by yourself.
Did you make a mistake and go by yourself at one
no,
stage?
No, no.
You got some warning. Hey, you've been listening to Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our two guests, Marcos and Anthony.
Yeah. How do you say goodbye in Brazilian?
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao, boys.
Até mais.
See you next week.
Likewise.
Bye.
Thanks. for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
That's the spirit of it. That's the power of life.
I've been around the world.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.